Tonight, I'm just going to show you some things in the Word. You know, people talk about types and shadows and use that term to refer to things in the Old Testament that are imagery, prophetical imagery of things that were to come as far as Jesus and the body of Christ and so forth. Well, tonight I'm going to show you one. And it's kind of interesting and it'll be encouraging to you, I really believe. In Luke chapter 5, in verse 12 it says, "And it came to pass, when he was talking about Jesus, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." We'll stop right there for the moment. So here's the scenario. Jesus comes to town. There's a fella. He encounters a man that's full of leprosy. And back then, you know, leprosy was a death sentence. It was like AIDS today. And he was going to die. There was really no hope for him. And so he asked Jesus, you know, if you can do this. Please help me. And Jesus says, well, I can, I will. And, you know, be clean. And man, just like that, the guy was not, I mean, he was just, it wasn't just healed. He was delivered from a death sentence. Amen. And you think he was happy. You better believe he was happy. But you notice there in verse 15 or 14, where Jesus tells them to go and offer for thy cleansing as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. Okay? Now this is kind of an interesting thing. Keep your place here in Luke, and I want to take you back to Leviticus and show you what Jesus is talking about. So leave a marker here in Luke and turn back to Leviticus chapter 13. Now in chapter 13 of Leviticus, we're not going to go through the entire process. We're not going to read the entire chapter. That's a better way to put this. Because chapter 13 basically describes what to do if a person is found to have leprosy. Now I'm going to summarize this. A man would say, see a spot on his body, and he would go to the priest and he would say, priest, look at this. And then in this 13th chapter, it describes what the priest would do, what the man was supposed to do, and it would cover, you know, a period of days to see if this thing got worse, how it changed, what it would be. And quite frankly, if you read this 13th chapter of Leviticus and you read it with an imaginative mind, this is a gross chapter. Because of what the priest had to do. See, let me just real briefly talk to you about leprosy. Essentially, leprosy would affect the human body in really two ways. One way, it would destroy nerve endings so that you couldn't feel anything. Fingertips, hands, arm, legs, whatever. And then if you had an injury, say you cut your leg, well, you didn't know you were cut because you couldn't feel it. Or maybe you would step on something, a sharp rock, and cut your foot, and you could keep walking for miles and never know that you were cut. Well, you'd get all kinds of germs and dirt and everything in that. It would begin to get infected and so forth, and the infection, it would lead, you know, to rotting and gangrene, and it was really, really gross. And that's one of the ways that their limbs would begin to fall off. Another way that the leprosy would affect them, it could begin to deteriorate the cell structure of the body to where it would start to rot, but it's more common for it to result from the nerve endings. And so it wasn't so much that it ate the flesh as it was it started something in the body that led to the destruction of the flesh and the limbs rotting and falling off and all that other. Well, here's a man that Jesus encountered, and he was full of leprosy. Now let's look at this. Now remember in chapter here in Leviticus 13, you can go back and read this if you want. It all starts with like a red spot on the body, and the man would go and say, you know, what is this? Now think about this. Can you imagine if you were the person that found that on your body? Remember, they didn't have, you know, mirrors exactly like what we have today. But can you imagine if you found that something like that on your body, the fear that would go through you? I know that people who are in the various social groups that are at higher risk for AIDS because of certain things they practice, if they begin to notice white, like polyps in the back of their throat, they begin to panic because that is a sign that they have developed the HIV virus that can lead to AIDS. Well, by the same token, a person that would have a spot, he goes to the priest and he knows what's coming. They're going to be checking him out. And so over the period of days, he would have to go through all the things that are described here in the 13th chapter. And it, depending on what happened and how it got worse, it could be diagnosed as leprosy. Now let's see what would happen if indeed it was diagnosed as leprosy. Verse 45 of chapter 13. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp, or outside of the camp, shall his habitation be. So here he is, he's been diagnosed with leprosy. And he receives a death sentence. He's no longer allowed to live with all the rest of the Jews. He has to go outside the camp. And he has to live, you know, in the wilderness or whatever that would represent. He has to leave. If he's married, he's got to leave his wife and kids. Never again to be with them. Now think about that. Is that a death sentence or what? I mean, you die before you die. Think about it. What if you were told you could no longer live in society, you have to go out here and live in the hills. And you can't be around anybody. And if anybody does get near you, not only do you have to have this thing, you know, on your face, like a scarf-like thing covering your face, but you have to yell, unclean, 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 to warn them not to get near you. You can't have contact with other humans unless, like you, they have leprosy. Can you imagine that kind of a life? Can you imagine how horrible that would be? A guy that runs into something like that, he may have complained for a long time about his nagging wife, but I'll guarantee you, he's going to wish he was back with her. Do you see what I'm saying? He may complain about the neighbor's barking dogs, but he's going to wish he could hear those barks again. Because you're completely separated from the rest of society until the day you die. What a horrible, horrible life. And it was possible to live for years like this and not die quickly, but die a very horrible death, watching as your body deteriorates right before your very eyes. And picking this up, though, in Leviticus 14. And the Lord said, verse 1, spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take him that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. Now remember what Jesus told the man back in Luke. He said, go to the priest and offer what is commanded. Okay? Well, now we're beginning to see this process of what was commanded. And if you look over in verse 10, and on the eighth day, again, this is a process that takes a few days here. On the eighth day, he shall take two he lambs without blemish and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering mingled with oil and one log of oil. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take one he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord, and he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering, and the burnt offering in the holy place, For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering, it is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil, and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in the left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall pour it upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. Now, this 14th chapter, it talks about what happens if the leprosy goes away. Well, in those days, they didn't have any treatment for leprosy. In other words, there was no medicine. You couldn't go get a shot. They didn't have penicillin. You see what I'm saying? There was nothing like that. Now, it is possible that the leprosy could go away, but what research I've done, it wasn't very likely that the leprosy would go away. But because of the limitations of medical diagnosis back then, it was possible that they could diagnose it as the death kind of leprosy, when in reality, it may not have been. But nevertheless, this was provision for the person who would be cleansed of the leprosy. And he would have to go like Jesus said, you know, the offering that Moses commanded. And what we just read here in chapter 14, we didn't read the whole thing. You can go back and read it all later on, but this describes briefly what that man would have done when he went back to the priest. Leave a marker in Leviticus. We'll come back here. Turn back to Luke. Luke chapter 5 again. Now, it says in verse 12, it came to pass when Jesus was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. All right, what do we know simply from verse 12? First off, well, we've already read the story. Jesus said, go to the priest to make the offering. We know the man was a Jew. He's not going to tell a Gentile to go do that, okay? Now, Jesus goes to the city, and he encounters this man. This man was a little too close to society, according to the law. Now, where exactly in the city this took place, we don't know. Could have been on the outskirts, we're not sure, but he's still a little bit closer to society than what he was supposed to be. Now, I don't really know for sure, but my speculation is this man has heard something about Jesus. And he's got some hope that something good could come about his encounter with Jesus. So, he comes to Jesus, and he says, and Scripture, that 12th verse, it says that the man is full of leprosy. He says, can you help me? Jesus says, yes, I can. Puts his hand on him and says, be thou clean. Now, go to the priest and make the offering. Well, the man knew what Jesus was talking about. Now, in your mind, please begin to envision this whole scenario. Jesus ministers to this man who's full of leprosy. He's going to die. Then, just like that, he's healed. No more leprosy. He's cleansed. And Jesus says, go to the priest and make the offering. Now, the man knows what he's supposed to do, so he gets the stuff together and he goes to find the priest. Well, he comes to the priest's tent, let's say, or wherever the priest was, his house. And, you know, he knocks on the door. And somebody comes to the door and they say, yes, can I help you? And he says, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm here to see Brother Goldstein, please. And the priest, is he home? And they said, well, okay, just a second here. And they say, Brother Goldstein, there's someone here to see you. So here comes the priest. And he walks out and he looks at this guy. Now remember, he had been full of leprosy, correct? But remember what we have discovered in Leviticus 13, that the first time you saw a spot on your body, you had to go to the priest to have it checked out. And then over a period of days, you had to go through the process for the correct diagnosis. Well, he had been diagnosed with leprosy. And because of that diagnosis, he had been separated, you know, from society. It was supposed to be. Now, according to Luke 5:12, he is full of leprosy. That means this thing has gone from the spot that led to the initial diagnosis to him being full of leprosy. Now, we don't know how long that took, but it would have taken several months at least for it to get that bad. At least several months, possibly as much as a year. So, this guy shows up, and the priest says, "Yes, can I help you?" And you know, here's Larry the leper, and he says, "Brother Goldstein, it's me." And he says, "Who?" "It's me, Larry the leper." And the priest says, "Oy vey, Larry, that can't be you. Why, the Larry I know was full of leprosy. Why, I saw him off on the hill just a couple of weeks ago, eaten up with leprosy, you know, his rags tattered and all this. You can't be Larry." "Yes, I am. See my tattoo? I'm Larry. Here, check my driver's license. It's me, Larry." "Well, Larry, where's the leprosy?" And Larry says, "It's gone." And the priest says, "Gone?" He says, "Ha, listen, all of us priests know that that 14th chapter of Leviticus is in there for a joke. Nobody gets healed from leprosy." And Larry says, "I'm telling you, I got healed. You saw me. You know what I looked like. Look at me now." And the priest says, "Larry, but what happened? You were full of leprosy." Larry says, "Well, I got healed." And the priest says, "How?" And Larry says, "Well, there's this guy Jesus." And the priest says, "Oy vey, not him again." He says, "There's this guy Jesus. And I went to him. And I said, 'Jesus,' because, you know, I'd heard all these wonderful things about him and how he healed people here and there. And I thought, well, maybe, just maybe. So I said, 'Jesus, if you can do this, you know, I can be cleansed from this leprosy.' And he looked right at me. And he said, 'I will.' And he put his hand on me and said, 'Be thou clean.' And just like that, all the leprosy was gone. And not only was the leprosy gone, but look at my body. I'm restored. I've been cleansed." Now the priest, what if you had been that priest? You can't deny what is standing before your eyes, but you sure don't like the way it happened. Because now, get this, as the priest, you are required to go with formerly Larry the leper to the altar to work with him in offering all those sacrifices and that whole process we saw in the 14th chapter. You don't have a choice in the matter. You have to. And the whole time you're doing this, going through the killing of the animal and that blood, and I mean everything that we saw there, the whole time you're doing this, in your mind, would you not be thinking, "This can't be real. This can't. Are you sure you're Larry? Are you sure you're Larry?" "Yes, I'm Larry." "Well, Larry, I just... You tell me the story again. What happened?" "Well, I said, 'Can you?' And he said, 'I will.' And he touched me." "Okay, what did he have in his hand?" "Nothing." "Oh, come on now. He had to put something on you, a magic salve or something. He had to... Nothing. I'm telling you, all he did was touch me." "Well, what did he have you drink?" "Well, nothing." "Well, what did he have you breathe?" "Well, nothing." "All he did was touch you, and all he did was say, 'Be thou clean,' and just like that it was gone?" "Yeah. And there are people back there who were witnesses. They saw it happen." "Well, here you are. You're having to go through this whole process of the sacrifice, the atonement, the whole thing with Larry. And you know this should not be happening. Now, I want to show you something in Scripture. Look at this. This is so cool. In Luke 5, in verse 15, it says, "But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of him, healed by him of their infirmities." Now, Jesus in verse 14 told him, told Larry, he says, you know, tell no man, but go to the priest. Well, it didn't say he couldn't tell after he went to the priest, okay? So, Larry, I'm sure, was telling people. The witnesses that saw this happen, I'm sure, were telling people. Who else do you think was talking? The priest. I guarantee you that priest was talking. That priest was talking to his buddy priests. I mean, they went down here to Krispy Kreme. They sat down, had them a few jelly-filled, some Colombian. And they're talking about this. "You're not going to believe what happened to me yesterday. You know Larry, the leper? Oh, he died? No. He's healed. And he's got to tell the story." You say, are you sure it happened that way? Well, maybe not the Krispy Kreme part, but I am firmly convinced that that priest made the rounds to the other priests and told them, here's why. Verse 17, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." I guarantee you that's what's happened. They emailed everybody and they told them what has happened. And when word got out that Larry has been healed, everybody shows up to check this guy out. Well, in this is the story of the fella that it said in verse 18, they had a man in a bed taken with palsy, and they dropped him in, you know, through the roof of the house. And Jesus said, "Man, thy sins are forgiven." Well, look, verse 21, "The scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this that speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus perceived, and he said, why reason you in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins be forgiven, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God." Can you imagine? It says they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Yeah. Now, where it says that they all glorified God, don't interpret that to mean every human that witnessed that glorified God. You say, well, why not? Because you know for sure that there were some scribes and Pharisees that were not glorifying God as a result. Keep reading the rest of the story. Read on this chapter and you'll begin to see it. And we know it anyhow. They came against him and they wanted him killed and all this other. But can you imagine? You know, here's the one priest that had to do the thing with Larry. And, you know, the sacrifice, the one that was telling the story to all the other priests, and they all get together to check his Jesus out, and then boom, this thing happens, and that guy says, I told you, that's what happened. That Larry said, the guy healed him. Well, look at this. The man was full of leprosy. Now, as you know, leprosy is a type of sin, and it represents, symbolically, it represents sin. And notice that this man didn't just have leprosy, he was full of leprosy. Meaning, there was no hope, he had a death sentence, and there was nothing he could do to change it. Then who came along and changed it? Jesus. Praise God. Now, turn back to Leviticus. And keep in mind that what we're going to read is the process that Larry and his priest went through when Larry showed up. In Leviticus chapter 14, remember, Larry is now cleansed. And he's going to go through what we see, or what we've already read, in Leviticus 14. And again, keep in mind that leprosy is symbolic of sin in Scripture, and that this man was full of sin, full of leprosy, which in itself is exemplary of somebody that's full of sin, or somebody that's lost, to just put it that way. And in Leviticus chapter 13, in verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons, the priest. Now, think about this. This person, when he sees this thing in his body, it wasn't there before, right? But all of a sudden, there it is. He notices that there's something happening on his body. And he has to go to the priest for the examination process and so forth. So, at one point in his life, he was born into life with no leprosy whatsoever. But the day came when he noticed a spot on his body that was leprosy. So at one point he was free of leprosy, and then one day he now has leprosy. Now remember, we're talking types and shadows here and what this represents. All right, what is described here at the very beginning of Leviticus 13, that in itself, the imagery of that is what Jesus has done for us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that God has made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. In other words, when Jesus was born into this world, He was born into this world with no sin whatsoever. But the day came when Jesus was hanging on that cross and He took the sins of the world upon Him. He was made to be our sin. Just like this man was born into the world with no leprosy whatsoever, and one day He had the curse of leprosy upon Him, Jesus was born into this world with no sin whatsoever. But the day came that He hung on the cross, and the Bible says, Galatians 3:13, that cursed is he who hangs upon a tree. Jesus hung upon that tree. He became the curse of sin for us, so that we could be the blessing of life through faith in Him. There was an exchange there that took place. Now, in this process, in verse 14, or chapter 14, we're going to pick this up in verse 12. We've already read through this. We're going to pick it up in verse 12. It says, and the priest shall take one he-lamb and offer him for a trespass offering, and a log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord, and he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering. Why? Why slay the lamb in the place of the sin offering? The guy has leprosy. We're not talking about sin. He has leprosy. But it specifically says that the priest has to take the lamb to the place of the sin offering, and that's where the lamb has to be slain. And it says, and the burnt offering in the holy place, in verse 14, and the priest shall take of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. Now, what is that talking about in those verses? Well, in John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist looks out and he sees Jesus and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. And then over in Revelation chapter 1, I think it's verse 5, where it talks about how that we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We've been washed from our sins in the blood of the Lamb. What this is representing here, the man who had leprosy is going through the process, the atoning process as is described right here. And the first thing that happens for him is, in order for him to be recognized as leprosy free, the blood of the slain lamb has to be applied. This is symbolic of what Jesus did for us with His crucifixion and the blood that He shed. Now look in the next verse. Verse 15. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand, and the priest shall dip his right hand, his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger seven times before the Lord. Now look at this. And the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. You say, well, what in the world does this represent? Well, in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it talks about that first off, we go through a washing of regeneration, but second off, we go through a renewing of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? What it means is this, that the blood of Jesus Christ is the cleansing for the sin, but the Holy Spirit comes in as we've been cleansed from the sin nature, and the Holy Spirit works the renewing work on the inside of us to cause us to be born again. He releases the very life of God on the inside of every person that calls upon Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. So first off, we see right here in this, now keep in mind, Larry is standing there with the priest and they're going through all of this and neither one of them's got a clue what they're doing. In other words, Jesus cleanses the guy and he says, now I want you to go and live out your salvation under the type and shadow and then look ahead to the cross where this thing can become a manifest reality in your life, Larry. So the blood was applied first, and then second was the work of the Holy Spirit to cause the person to be born again. Now look at this in verse 18. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. What in the world do you think that represents? Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You see the entire process, step by step, right here in Leviticus. You have a man who didn't have leprosy, who was born into this world without leprosy, but he became leprous. And he had to do something. He had to be cleansed of that leprosy. Well, we know the process described in Leviticus 14 didn't cleanse him of the leprosy, but the whole thing is put together by God to be a foreshadow of what God was going to do through us, through Jesus Christ. And so the first thing this man had to do when he was cleansed, he had to have the blood applied. The second thing was he had to have the oil applied. And the third thing was he had to have the oil poured upon him. For us, the first thing that we need is to know that Jesus Christ died for our sins. We have to know that Jesus is for us as a Savior. And then we put our faith in Him and His blood that was shed. It works a cleansing work to purge us of the old sin nature. And then here comes the Holy Spirit right in behind and He releases on the inside of us the new life of God. We're born again in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And then we're supposed to go through to verse 18 and receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Can you see, according to this, that if we don't follow through with the entire process that's described, that is foreshadowed here in Scripture, there's something missing? And no, we can continue on to read here in the 14th chapter of Leviticus. In this process, symbolically now, the priest that he went to would represent, in essence, the Godhead. The man that went to the priest for this whole process, he never left the presence of the priest until the process was complete. How many people in the body of Christ will call upon Jesus to be born again? The blood, it cleanses them of the sin nature. They have the renewing work on the inside of them of the Holy Spirit, and they are born again. But they walk away from the presence of the priest before the final work is done, before the oil is poured upon them. Can you imagine? Here'd be the priest with the oil in his hand getting ready to pour it. And that man say, oh, wait, that's passed away. That's not for today. We don't believe that in our tribe. Us Benjamites, we don't believe that. We teach it a little bit differently. That priest would say, excuse me, as Benjamites, you have no right to teach it anyway. The Levites are the only one in the position to do the teaching. And according to the commandment of God, the oil is supposed to be applied to you, sir, before you walk away. Because if you walk away without having the oil poured, then as far as we're concerned, The process is not complete. The blood has been applied. The oil has been applied. But the process is not complete. Yes, the cleansing has taken place. But the process is not complete. Praise God for the Holy Ghost. Well, you know what? I can stand here today and I can tell you the process has been made complete in me. Amen? And it's so amazing to me as I envision our dear brother Larry and his priest going through the motions. The priest taking the blood and applying the blood where it was supposed to be applied. And then taking the oil and putting the oil where it was supposed to be applied. And Larry standing there. And the priest takes the oil and pours it, and that oil just runs down. And the process is complete. When he leaves the presence of the priest, here's what happens. The people that he comes in contact with, they see the blood and the oil on the ear, the toe, the hand and all, but they also see the oil pouring down from his head. That is a testimony. That is supposed to be our testimony of what God has done for us. When we're born again, when the blood's been applied, when the renewing has taken place, and the Holy Spirit has been poured upon us, people are supposed to know that just when we get in their presence. Praise God. The change is supposed to be that dramatic. Hallelujah. The oil and the blood have been applied to us. As far as I know, we've all had the oil poured upon us as well. But the more time that we spend in the presence of the priest, is the more it will become self-evident to the people around us what has happened. We've been cleansed from the leprosy of a sin nature. Praise God. We're born again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is exciting. Good news. Hallelujah.